Now we're moving to Nigeria from Haiti. My presentation, as Paul said, is on task shifting to improve access to emergency obstetric care in health facilities in Nigeria. We have what we call community health extension workers. So this project is targeting the capacity building of community health extension workers in Nigeria. I'd like to say that I have no financial relationships to disclose for this particular project, and so also are my other colleagues. The outline of my presentation would be to talk a little bit about Nigeria, the demography and selected health indices. Then we talk about the process, the intervention that we conducted in this task-shifting approach, and then we'll talk about the results in terms of the knowledge and the skills, and also service delivery, then talk about some conclusion and recommendations. Nigeria, as most of you may know, is termed the giant of Africa, so we have about 170 million population, and there's a very large disparity between the north and the south. It's like a tale of two countries, just like Sudan. Our maternal mortality ratio from the last National Demographic Health Survey of 2008 is about 505 per 100,000 live births. And infant and under 5 mortality is quite high. And you can see that total fertility rate is quite high, and the Northwest having an average of about 7.3. The average for the country is 5.7. So the North actually takes the burden of fertility. Contraceptive prevalence is also quite low, North having as low as 3%, while the Southwest has about 21%. So there's a high unmet need for family planning. Facility deliveries is also quite low. Most women prefer to deliver in at home, especially in the northern part of the country. So these are all indices from the 2008 National Demographic Health Survey. So what is the rationale for task shifting? In 2007, the World Health Organization provided this definition for task shifting as a process of delegating tasks, especially to lower level or less specialized healthcare workers. And the rationale behind it is, you know, in areas where there's a shortage of well-trained health workers, and we know that in most low-income countries, with Nigeria inclusive, the doctor or nurse to patient ratio is very imbalanced. We have skilled female providers that are very few, and in the northern part, this is a challenge because most women prefer to be managed or seen by a female health worker. There's a skewed distribution, of course, to the rural urban areas, which is very common in low-income countries. Then we already have a cadre of health workers called community health extension workers, which ideally are not supposed to be providing health services in facilities, but are really supposed to be about 80% in the community. But because we don't have enough health workers in the facilities, they're actually facility-based. So we know and we've seen that because of all these challenges, task shifting is a very viable option for Nigeria in terms of human resource availability. Before this project, and I'd like to say that this project is funded by DFID, the UK aid, and it's also implemented by a consortium headed by APT Associates, and my colleagues are all here, so I'm talking on behalf of my colleagues from Nigeria and from APT Associates in Bethesda here and Cambridge. So we conducted a gap analysis because the main aim of this project is actually to improve service delivery through strengthening health systems. And we know that human resource challenge is one of the major impediments to health systems and to service delivery. So we supported the government to conduct a state-level and national-level gap analysis where we identified, of course, we knew that would identify that a lack of skilled birth attendance, especially at primary healthcare facilities. And the community health extension workers, of course, were already providing services, even though they were not, you know, they did not have the mandate to provide certain level of services. And we also found out that in terms of skills, we did a gap analysis with the government of Nigeria, and we realized that the skills that were lacking in community health extension workers were especially for emergency obstetric care and life-saving skills. So what intervention did we, you know, kind of support? We contacted the American College of Nurse Midwives, which we know are the pioneers of the life-saving skills, And when we engaged them, one of the first things we did was to look at the curriculum and see how the life-saving skills curriculum is, because we had it in Nigeria before, but we realized that it was very non-competency based, it was very theoretical. So we developed with the ministry a kind of competency-based curriculum for life-saving skills. And some of the activities included a four-week training of trainers for nurse midwives. I'm particularly going to talk about Kano State, but we work in five states of Nigeria. And but this particular presentation is kind of focused on Kano. We also conducted a three-week step-down training for community health extension workers, because those nurse midwives that we trained became our master trainers. And then there's a follow-up supportive supervision, which was conducted about 6 months later, even though there was monthly supportive supervision to find out the challenges and try to assure quality of what was being taught. So these are the activities of the advanced life-saving skills in terms of curriculum development. I'd like to talk about the site preparation a bit, because for each state we went to, we identified one health facility, which was a secondary health facility, to become our training center. So we did a bit of a site preparation. We called in the medical officers in charge and the head of nursing and some key staff that were there, also the administration. We did a site preparation for 3 days. And this was because we needed to inform them that some new challenge things were coming up, especially processes, so that they'll be able to support our community health extension workers. Then we did a TO training of trainers, and then training of CHUs, and then a supportive supervision. So what was different about the Advanced Life-Saving Skills Training System? First of all, it was very competency-based, and the information that was in those curriculum was quite need-to-know information. So it was basic information which had knowledge and skills as its main mantra. It included clinical thinking and was focusing on prevention as well as providing high-quality care. In addition, the Advanced Life-Saving Skills was focused on the major primary killers of pregnant women and the newborns. The newborns are a silent kind of category in Nigeria and many other places too, because when we talk about maternal and child health, we forget that there's the newborns as well. So it was also talking about 6 months and the 6 weeks supportive supervision. So there was the 6 weeks and the 6 months. So these are some community health extension workers being trained on newborn resuscitation and also supporting a woman in labor. Some of the main observations that we were able to obtain during that project was that immediately after the training, after the 3 weeks of the community health extension worker training, of course there was a huge knowledge improvement, and between the pretest, which average of about 4/10 to 9, which is the end line, and that was 10 being the maximum. In terms of clinical skills, the few ones that I want to highlight here include the use of pathograph. As you may all know, pathograph is a very important tool for monitoring the process of labor and delivery, and if used properly, it could be able to identify very essential or kind of complications even before it happens. So most of them did not even know how to use a pathograph. But we realized that managing the pathograph, some of them went from 0 to 10/10 in management, managing women during labor and delivery using pathograph. In terms of newborn resuscitation, that was another major area that was not done properly. Even the medical officers that we conducted a site assessment for did not really know how to do appropriate newborn resuscitation. So this was very key. In addition to, we realized that even in the National Demographic Survey, communication or provider attitude was one of the major barriers to healthcare service delivery for women. So we focused also on communication skills and helping them to support women in a more friendly manner. So in terms of results, we looked at different areas of results, from the processes to also the outcomes. So, but here I'm going to talk about some of the outcome results, because as a project, we also have some results that were being measured upon. So for this particular project, we did a little bit of an analysis to just demonstrate the improvement in some key outcome results pre-intervention and post-intervention. For antenatal care, because of the friendly nature of the providers, we realized that even antenatal care was higher in those facilities when you compare the 6 months pre and post. for antenatal care visits, the fourth visit, because we realize that, and we all know, even from the data, that the fourth visit was most of the time lower, because you have women coming for the first, and then the fourth was a problem. So most of them had some key antenatal care skills, and we were able to improve antenatal care and fourth visit attendance, as well as deliveries. This is also the deliveries in those health facilities that the community health extension workers were trained. And for you to know that, yes, they were actually providing delivery services before, but the quality of those services was very, very questionable. And they were also, one of the community health workers said that she was providing services based on what she knew she was doing before, like a lot of understanding of what she thought she was correct, but now she really understands how delivery services should be provided. In conclusion, in Nigeria, we have been able to kind of provide the government with information and data that task shifting is the major, you know, way to go for improvement in having health facilities with skilled attendants, even though the World Health Organization definition does not take community health workers as skilled birth attendants. These health workers were also capable of providing quality services. And I must say here that the training that they get is quite very limited, especially in competency, because of the fact that they were supposed to be in the community. So some of the recommendations we have is that we monitor or we support the government to review the pre-service curriculum and also the in-service curriculum as well, the national one, because this was used as a pilot. And I'm very happy to say that now that we're talking, the government has adopted this life-saving skills manual, the Path 2 manual, and we're really at the last stage of publishing that manual, which is very good and competency-based. The American College came back again and did that review for the national curriculum, so it's very replicable. In terms of policies as well, now we're trying to push forward a policy with the federal government and the state governments on task shifting to allow them to be called skilled birth attendants, at least in Nigeria, because we know that they're already providing these services. Thank you so much. This is what we have been able to attain, a safe delivery. For any information, please let me know. Thank you so much.